Well, after all of this, I feel just like closing the meeting in prayer. I'm grateful for all of these comments and for these men that have given me this plumb bob. And I trust as I use it from time to time, it will encourage me to be more faithful to the Lord as I think of you men over there and possibly, I'm sure some of you praying for me and appreciate your thoughts. All I can say is, as I mentioned at the beginning, I am an unprofitable servant. I have done that which was my duty. And I'm grateful tonight, of course, and could never repay Lauren and Lucy for the time, investment in my life, the years that we spent together. I shared a little bit up on the hill today how Lauren and I used to dust furniture to a polka each morning up there, dancing around. We got through the house in a hurry to the Scandinavian polkas there in Seattle, and we sang duets over the dish pan many, many nights in the home, and I learned so many wonderful lessons. And as he mentioned, I couldn't be here tonight if it weren't for a faithful wife. I mentioned that the first night, how grateful I am to God for her, and I wouldn't be here tonight if it weren't for Lauren and the investment that he put in my life years ago. And for the way that he helped me in those early days with the hunger I had in my heart to please the Lord. And we've said many times, emotion is no substitute for action, and action is no substitute for production. He helped me with the emotion that I had to get a little active, and then with any production that has been accomplished through the years, I owe it to the beginning that they had in my life and getting into the Word of God. And I'm grateful. You know, as far as the Word and faithfulness is concerned, we have a prayer fellowship, ten of us all together. I'm the tenth, and we've been working together for a number of years, Gene and Jack and Wes Rogers and Bob Potter, Don Tabb and Wayne Watts. I think most of you know Wayne, a wonderful layman in Texas, and Charlie Featherston and Harold Warren. Have I left anyone out? Oh, Ely Lamb, yes. He was the one we started with, really. And we agree to pray for each other every day. And not only pray, but we pray things for each other. And, you know, if we were to do some push-ups every day, agree to do 20 push-ups every day, every one of us, we actually would be helping each other in bodybuilding. Though we wouldn't see each other, perhaps, for weeks and months, at the end of several months, we would have a little better muscle tone because we'd been doing push-ups every day. Well, we have a little agreement to pray for each other every day, and we have at least five major scriptures. These are spiritual push-ups, and the first one on the list is Psalm 12:1. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. And Lauren won't remember this, but we were walking at the campus at TCU back in 1952, and he shared that verse with me. I don't know if you remember that or not. We were walking along University Drive, and he quoted that verse. And somehow I took it to heart, and we have it as our number one desire to be godly men. And then secondly, spirit-filled men. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Why go around like a dud when we have the Holy Spirit to dominate our life and to give us a dynamic in our life? He wants to dominate us and give us a dynamic. Third scripture, 2 Timothy 2:2, reproducing men, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And these are spiritual push-ups we do every day. And we know we're praying for each other. Witnessing men. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh thee reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We want to be witnessing men. And then We have thrown in several others, but I'll give you one more. Daniel 11:32. Exploiters, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do what? Exploits. We want to be exploiters for Jesus Christ. And these we pray every day for each other, plus some other things. And these are spiritual push-ups. And we're just taking God at His word. Praying, and believing God's going to do these things. And we'll leave this in His hands. Well, have I ever shared with you the football joke? Will you laugh if I share it with you tonight? I have to have a laugh. Here's a football game. I don't know if it was Oklahoma University in Texas or maybe some little high school game. And it was in the waning moments. The score was tie. One team was definitely the underdog. And it was in the waning moments of the game and the underdog team had the ball. The first string quarterback was knocked out of the game earlier on the underdog team. And the second string quarterback just got knocked out after the first down. He called a signal, wham, he got knocked out of the game. And so the coach turned to the third string and he said, "Son, you've got an awful responsibility on your shoulders." He said, "You've got to get in there and hang on to the ball. And if we can end this game in a scoreless tie, it'll be a moral victory. This is what I want you to do. You go in there and call a quarterback sneak and you hang on to that ball and hit the line. Don't lose it. Then do the same thing again, another quarterback sneak and hang on," he said. "Then kick the ball down the field. We hope in a minute or two the game will be over. What are you going to do, son?" "Quarterback sneak. Quarterback sneak and a kick." Attaboy, and he pats him and he jogs in the game and he 50-yard line and he calls a quarterback sneak and wham, he hits the line and it opened and he went 30 yards down to the 20. Got back in the huddle, quarterback sneak, and he hit the line again and he went 17 yards down to the 3. Some of you are looking awful serious back there. And on the third play, he kicked the ball up in the stands. Brought it out to the 20 and the player two. The game was over and he jogged off the field. Nothing, nothing. And the coach was waiting for him when he came into the locker room. He said, "Son," he said, "you could have hit the line and scored. You could have kicked a field goal and scored." He said, "What was in your mind when you kicked that ball?" He said, "I just think what a dumb coach we had." Well, you might think about that too after you get away from here this week. If you think about that joke too seriously, you'll find some flaws in it, so don't worry about it too much. Just let it go. Well, I'm grateful for being invited to the conference, mainly, as I told you, just to get out to beautiful Colorado. My family, dearly, I don't know if you're supposed to love it, but we do. We really like to be here. We almost moved here. And as far as the navigators are concerned, they said about a soldier who had been shot during the Napoleonic Wars when they were probing for the bullet in his heart. He looked up and he says, "Go a little deeper and you'll find Napoleon." And they really fought for him. And I think if you get deep enough in here, you'll find the navigators in my heart. And they'll never be taken out because of the impact that they've made on my life. And I would judge by, you should judge by the messages this week that I haven't gotten too far away from what they're teaching and the basics, and you just can't leave them. And so I'm grateful to the Navigator work, and we're always glad to be back here. Though I have personally been away from the ministry for a number of years, we are in heart still with the Navs. And this message tonight is going to be brief, and I'm going to just sort of give you a few verses I think you've already gotten them in an outline, but I might add one or two to each of them just to say, give a remark about each one of them, and we'll go on our way. And it's titled, I don't know why, but I just got to thinking, this might be a title, Prescription for Mental Health. And I want us to bow our heads in a word of prayer before we start. Why don't we stand again and just change your position? Just thank God tonight for His Word. Thank Him for the privilege of being here. And ask Him tonight again to make His Word live. May the Holy Spirit take the Word tonight and speak to each of us. And may we, as a result of this message, be drawn closer to Jesus Christ with a greater trust in Him through the Word. And now, our Father, we do indeed look to Thee for this message. This is Your Word. Pray that You will make it quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Pray the Holy Spirit might minister. And once again, Lord, we may not hear the voice of a man, but the voice of God, challenging, comforting, convicting, drawing us. We pray tonight, Lord, that You'll speak to us, each of us, in Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if there's any water around here enough, but I am a little thirsty. There's a little glass. I get dried up in a hurry here. I'm going to give you about six or seven steps that might be helpful to you, to help you keep a sort of an equilibrium. The one of the queens, they're both sold now, but one of them, I believe, had what were they called? Not equilibriums, but gyro stabilizers. And the purpose was to keep this big old ship on an even keel when it crossed the Atlantic. And when the old waves got rough and the seas battered the ship, these stabilizers were meant to sort of help it ride out the waves. And I would like to share these scriptures with you and thoughts as sort of stabilizers. And I would like to recommend something to you just for your own, just a little idea that when you go from here, that you might go over these day after day after day after day, getting the verses in your mind and the thoughts. Thank you. And especially if you find the seas are a little rough, the enemy coming in like a flood, things getting tough, just use them as stabilizers. I do, and I find them very helpful. Number one, be yourself. Just be yourself. Gene was up in New York to the New York Crusade, and we had fellowship up there, and we got to talking about some of the messages and some of the thoughts, and Gene dropped this little seed thought, so he's got a part in this message as he has in so many of them that I've given this week, and the message that Doug gave this morning, Gene gave him a few thoughts, and you know, I really honestly felt we could have closed the conference this morning with Doug's message on faithfulness. But the Lord saw fit to keep us here tonight, so be yourself. And for a passage, I'll give you two or three. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one in the body, as it has pleased Him. You read the rest of that chapter, it's beautiful. He's given different ones gifts. Some are gifted at this and some are gifted at that. And we've seen God's gifts this week as different individuals have been up here speaking and leading. But God has set each one of us in the body. There'll never be another Lawrence Sanny. There'll never be another Trotman. And we've got to realize this. I know that in my early days in the Navigators, I used to come to conferences, and I had an awful time, honestly. I was concerned that I wasn't like so-and-so, and I wasn't like so-and-so. And really, rather than get blessed by the conference many times, I had tremendous depressions because of it. I saw in other men great qualities, and I didn't measure up, and it had a tendency to frustrate me. And I used to sort of just cower sometimes, in my heart at least, and I was afraid of being called on and not producing, and because it was all measuring. I used to get the fright before I ever started for the conference. And this happened on the Billy Graham team, too, as I watched different ones perform. And then I got to thinking of another verse, 2 Corinthians 10:12, a companion verse, an equilibrium. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. You know, that's helped me tremendously, really, through the years. Get your eyes off of people and get them on the Lord Jesus Christ. And realize, as Lauren has said many times, begin where you are with what you have. It may be just a little bit, but God can multiply it. Bev Shea sings so beautifully, little is much when God is in it. And remember this, it's not by might nor by power, but by what? My spirit. It isn't my great ability, my great talent, and my great education. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the work, and He can work so wonderfully. I've been blessed by many times by people who have had very little training or ability because they are honoring God and giving God the glory. And so, be yourself. Just be yourself. Don't try to copy Bert. How do you spell, pronounce it? Gerard? He got up here and gave a beautiful presentation of what God is doing in his life. And I admire this fellow. But don't you think because Bert here has this discipline during this period of time in his life to set up a program as extensive as this, that you have to go back and do the same thing, and if you don't, you're failing God. It would be terrible to think this. And I've had one or two share this with me, that they are they supposed to do the same thing? You've got to reckon gifts. You've got to reckon that some people, Gene, for example, is economically independent. I think he is anyway. He's able to spend about 80% of his time in the work. Now, Wes can't do the same thing as Gene. We're praying that Jack will become economically independent here before long and get out there too. And we're claiming that. But you've got to reckon a given situation. Just be yourself. And let God take your life and use you as He sees fit and give Him the glory. Secondly, recognize your sin potential or your weakness. And I don't know where the devil can get us quicker than in this area right here. Going back from here, we feel like giants perhaps, great victories, and we get back in the valley and we begin to have doubts, we begin to have anxieties, we begin to be frustrated, we begin to worry, and we wonder, where's all the dedication that I had up on the mountain? You mark Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We have a sin potential and a potential of a weakness in the flesh that can easily cause anxieties and frustrations and cause terrible depression. Mark 7:21, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All of these things come out of the heart of man and defile him. We have this potential. And I know I have been on my knees in prayer many times and I've had lustful thoughts come to my mind. Deceitful, evil heart. Paul in Romans 7:18, for in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And I want you to realize this when you go back. This isn't in the notes that you received, but I thought about it since, and it's a wonderful thought, I believe. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13. Some of you are thinking, well, I think I have this thing pretty well in hand. Well, it says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth, what's the rest of it? Take heed lest you fall. And then there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You'll get back to Amarillo, Wichita, Houston, wherever you may be in the days ahead, and you'll begin to have doubts, and you'll begin to have worries, and you'll begin to have lustful thoughts, and things will begin to happen in your life, and you'll think that God has left you, deserted you, you're a terrible sinner, you're not worth God's time, and all sorts of things will come into your mind. You just remember that every one of us at the same time will be going through the same temptations. To lust, to worry, to become discouraged, to become distressed, to become despondent. And it's as natural as falling off a log, because we live in a body of sin. But I'm glad and grateful that the verse doesn't end there. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. I have a letter that was sent to me from New York. It was sent to a counselor. Beautiful letter. And this fellow wrote the letter, made a decision at the crusade, and he was an addict. He was on drugs. Several days had passed since his decision, and he said, I'm trusting God to help me, and I'm still clean. And he said, I'm writing by heart 1 Corinthians 10, 13. He said, I've memorized all of these verses, and he said, this one in particular has been a help for me. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. But remember this, you have a weakness and a sin potential, but remember this also, we have this treasure in an earthen vessel that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In this body of sin, this lump of worthless clay, I have the Holy Spirit. You know, the devil tells me many times, you haven't any business teaching classes. And I say, you're right. You are absolutely right. He tries to get me on that all the time. You're not a perfect husband, and that's right, I want to be. You know you're not a perfect father. That's right, I want to be more than anything else in the world. You know, he tries to get me, and all I say, well, sir, I'm going out tonight trusting God to use his word. This is in his hand. And as I teach and as I preach, this is God's responsibility to bless it. You've got a sinful potential, and it could really knock you out of the ministry. My wife, LaRue, has a wonderful ministry, and a lady by the name of Z called one day when I was home, and she was nervous. She said, LaRue, I got to see a psychiatrist. I said, can you get me an appointment? LaRue has, she's, the pastor assigns people to her. They refer them to her. Really. She's got a listening ear. I know one lady. I'm sure she talked to her 6 days a week for 6 months because her husband had a nervous breakdown. The counselor who was supposed to be counseling his wife said, LaRue's got the answers to your problems. More than once. She'd call her about 8 o'clock every morning. And so, we might be in the Word together as we do when I'm home, and telephone, there it goes. And so I would just go and have another cup of coffee or maybe do a thing or two while she's on the phone with this lady. But this other lady called, got to see a psychiatrist. Well, LaRue knew a one that was fairly reliable, so she called. This was in September. She couldn't get an engagement, I think, until January, something like that, wasn't it? I said, why don't you ask the lady to come over? Just kidding, sort of. 15 minutes, she's in the driveway, and LaRue made some sandwiches, and what's on your heart? Now, this lady had been a Sunday school teacher, very active in the church, but she just quit everything. What's on your heart? Well, she unloaded. She'd married when she was 16 years of age. Marriage didn't last, so she divorced the man at 17, and shortly after, married again. And after her second marriage, the first husband committed suicide. Now her daughter's 13, and her daughter's acting up, going through a lot of the things that teens do, and she says, God is punishing me, God is spanking me, and God is making my life miserable because of... She just poured out her heart. And we shared a few of these verses with her about the fact that, well, we do live in a body of sin, and then this next point here particularly... Accept and believe God's mercy. Hebrews 4:15-16. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:15-16. Just as we are going through tests day after day after day of our life, Jesus Christ has already been through these things. And what a release to us, the pent-up emotions and burdens and problems, if we can just release them to Him. And so this is number one release. And then secondly, I would like to suggest, and this is under accepting and believing God's mercy. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and do what? Pray one for another that ye may be healed. And it's good. It's good therapy to talk to somebody. And this is what this Lady Z was doing. She was just pouring out her life and pouring out her heart and getting it off her shoulders and off her out of her system. And we were able to listen to it. She was confessing her faults and her problems to us, and we were able then to turn her to the person who forgives sin and who takes the burden of sin. You know, Dr. Graham called me the weather prophet, and it goes back to Columbus, Ohio. And a few years ago, we were having a crusade there, and this particular night, we had storm warnings up until 7 o'clock, and the clouds had come down almost to the roof of the stadium, really. And each night, a team member prays. We started the meeting at 6:30 to get ahead of the rain, and the people were there. The farmers from all over Ohio came. Stadium seats were all filled and people on the playing field. And I got up to pray, and I said, God, hold back the rain. And I tucked in, if it be your will, in there. And I sat down, and Billy Graham turned around. He said, Charlie, I'm really counting on God answering that prayer. You know, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. As much as to say, if it rains, I'm going to question your walk. Well, I don't need to tell you what happened, do I? Huh? What do you think? We had a cloudburst. Wow, it came down, I mean, not minutes after I'd prayed. Whoom! I was sitting under an umbrella, and I had a plastic raincoat on, and it just poured down rain. The people were sitting under umbrellas and plastics, and hardly anyone left. It was warm. Billy Graham got up, and the water was running off of his chin. He has his notes in great big plastic sheets, so the rain didn't hurt them any. And, he preached up a storm too. And you know something, friends? It quit raining for the invitation. Absolutely quit. Now, granted, we couldn't use the base pad because there it was just mud. But we were able to use the green outside of the base pad, and we had a wonderful time counseling people. So I'm a weather prophet, and Billy Everett, he says, Charlie, the weather's in your hands. And he always kids me about the weather. But this is a wonderful therapy, confessing your faults one to another praying for one another. This is what Lauren and I have done and Jean and I have done. You know, sometimes we give the impression that everything is hunky-dory at our home. Our children are, model children. Our wife is a model wife or husband. And never have any problems. And, you know, you look at people like that and you get sick almost because you know you're having problems. But just to have them let down their hair, it's hard on the pride, mind you, but it's good on the heart. To tell somebody your problem. It's a wonderful therapy. And so, let's take our burdens to Him. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. That's Psalm 55:22. Cast it on Him. Worry, anxiety, depression, cast it on Him. Throw it on Him. And He'll sustain thee. He says, I'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. And Christ, the one who's been through all of these temptations himself, were to come boldly unto him to find grace and mercy in the time of need. And then finally unto this one, 1 John 1:9. Wonderful verse, and use it every day and throughout the days you need it. If we, say it with me, confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that a wonderful verse? You remember the little motto we had one night, a couple nights ago? God said it where? In His Word. I believe it in my heart. That settles it in my mind. And it's very important when you go to God in prayer to leave your burden. Joe Blinko said so beautifully, when he was with us, he's gone to be with the Lord. And I like this. When you bring your garbage to God, dump it and leave it. Don't carry your garbage around with you. Is that good? Dump your garbage in the disposal. God has he says, I've cast your sins in the deepest sea, never to be remembered no more. And you know, the sea, they take the garbage out a few miles, and that sea takes that garbage and it purifies it just like that. This is what God does for us. Cleanses and forgives. Be yourself. Recognize your sin potential, your weakness. You're going to have problems. And you will fail, and I will fail. But I like Psalm 37:25 under that. It says, this steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Learning to walk. As a child learns to walk, he stumbles, has a hard time. But slow but sure, he gets up and he stays up more often. And this is the way we learn to walk with God. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Psalm 37:25. And so recognize this weakness, and then accept and believe God's mercy. Come to him. Come to the Jesus Christ with your burdens. Go to a friend and share them, but finally confess your sins. And really believe God to forgive them. And then another important thing, learn to forget. And this is very important. I know from experience, not only in my own life, and I know from experience of counseling people, that too often we don't dump our garbage. We carry it back with us. And we still have this burden. And our head is down. Instead of our shoulders back and our head high, we still carry the anxiety, the burdens, and the sin with us. We just haven't left it there. You know, I got to thinking tonight, these burdens, these failures, these sins are like barnacles on a ship. You know what a barnacle is, don't you? And you know what it does, huh? A barnacle on the ship, I guess they're alive, aren't they? This sea life that gathers on the ship. And if they don't scrape them off, it slows down the ship in the water. They just cling to the vessel. And boy, they cling tightly to the vessel. I guess they're parasites, aren't they? I don't know if they get anything to eat out of the metal, though, do they really? But anyway, the barnacles cling to the ship and slow it down. We need to clean the barnacles out of our life. They'll slow us down, too. And I like Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting, forgetting, forgetting. Gene gave me a verse this morning. And it's in Isaiah 43:18. But do not recall former events, nor consider things of the past. Friends, not only do we need to forget our sin as we've confessed it, but we also need to forget our failures. I don't know about you, but I've been preoccupied many times with failures. And you know, when you're preoccupied because of pride, preoccupied with your past, you are not fit to meet the situation, a given situation, with all of your faculties when you're preoccupied. We need all of our faculties to meet the test day by day. And don't let your problems, your failures, your sin preoccupy you to the extent that you are not attending to what's going on around you. I remember a few years ago we were in Philadelphia and I was working on Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And I thought that was a great verse. I thought, well, if I have the mind of Christ, I'll have his compassion, his love, his vision. And I was satisfied with that. And then one day, I looked at the rest of the passage. It says, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of what? No reputation. Took upon himself the form of a what? And he became obedient unto death. God said to me, if you want my mind, then you've got to be willing to have no reputation. I'm not going to use you because you've taught so many classes. I'm not going to use you for this reason because you're with Billy Graham. I'm not using you for this reason. Don't let your reputation stand in your way. We went to Philadelphia, and I was introduced by Jerry Bevan as perhaps the one who would train more counselors, and he just gave me a great build-up. Went out to Eastern Seminary for a minister's meeting, and we had not only ministers from the area, but we had the student body. 200. And I was to share with them counseling and follow-up and crusade preparation. And it was one of these days when God gave me freedom and liberty. I went back 2 weeks later. Lyman Coleman, most of you know him, was helping us. He was developing classes in 15 regions of Pennsylvania. And we were to have counseling classes, and I was to teach them by tape. And he wanted these tape classes to start the same time that the Philadelphia classes started. So he said, Charlie, why don't we make the tapes out at the Eastern Seminary, and they'll be all ready for us then when we have the classes from Philadelphia. So I said, fine. I went out with him. And we had a situation 45 minutes from 2 to 2:45. I prepared the best I could, and here are these seminary professors and students there, and I said, now, you're going to hear some things that are rather strange to you today because I'm thinking about farmers out here in Bethlehem and York and Lancaster and so on. And little did I realize how strange it would sound to them. And I got up, and man alive, I got into a straitjacket. I could not say what I wanted to say for love nor money. I was as stiff, I was as bound as could be. And oh, the longer I went, the more I perspired and the crazier things I said. And people got up, some of them, and walked out. They looked, they had enough of that. And I kept going, though, foolishly. After it's all over, Lyman called me, took 3 steps. He was taping. He says, "Charlie, I've never heard you worse." Woo! And, man alive, I said, there's my reputation gone to pieces. They'll wonder how you ever got on the team. Where'd you come from? And God was really working me over. Willing to have no reputation. So I was ready to be led around on a leash about this time. Lyman said, "Charlie, Wednesday night, let's go to our church and I'll ask my pastor to let you tape the class out there and we'll do it again." Okay. I went along with him out to Huntington Park. And this pastor invited the neighboring church. They had about 80 people, and God gave wonderful liberty. 2nd week, wonderful liberty. 3rd week, wham, I got started and I stopped. I just stopped. I said, "There's no use kidding anyone. I'm through. I quit." I said, "Let's have a prayer meeting." And I told him what God was doing in my life. I told him the verse, the passage, no reputation. I said, "I know some of you say, 'Well, no, man alive, you've taught before, haven't you?'" "Yeah, I've taught before." "You've taught a few times, haven't you?" "Yes, I've taught a few times before. But I haven't anything to say tonight." Now, we had a prayer meeting. We had a wonderful prayer meeting. You know, I get to know some of those people in a few minutes there, because they began to identify. They came up to me one after another, and one pastor came up and he went, just wept. He said, "You'll never know what God did in my life tonight." Now, that's a funny way of using a guy, but no reputation. And I had to learn to forget. You know, psychologically, that'll bug you. "Oh, where'd you come from? How'd you get on the team?" Buddy, let me tell you something. Our strength is not in man, it's in God. And he can foul me up anytime he wants to. It's hard, really, but it's in his hands. Ministry's in his hands. But learn to forget. And then quickly, and time is passing, and I want to just say this. Live one day at a time. Matthew 6:34, Proverbs 27:1. "Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Is that right? Don't even think about tomorrow. You know, friends, we've got just a little while tonight left. I think God can somehow help us through the day. Do you? Get us to bed. Take care of us. "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." I believe God can take us through the rest of this day. Let's not even think about Saturday. We build bridges, anxieties, all sorts of problems because we live tomorrow and next week and next month. Live a day at a time. And the passage in Isaiah, "As thy day, so shall thy what? Strength be." As thy day, so shall thy strength be. That's in Isaiah 33:25. You know, the first of that says, "I will..." What does it say about... "I will give you shoes of..."
"Thy shoes shall be iron and brass."
"Thy shoes shall be iron and brass." I don't understand what that means, except that they'll last a long time, I'll tell you. "And as thy day, so shall thy strength be." Isn't that wonderful? And then finally, and in closing, living a... we forget yesterday. We live a day at a time with our eyes on Jesus. With our eyes on Jesus. And if you like, you can also put in parenthesis, mind. Our mind on Jesus. Isaiah 26:3. "Thou wilt keep him in..." what kind of peace? "Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Give you a good illustration in Matthew 14. And I believe this is typical of this week. And it will be of our life. Jesus had fed the multitude before his disciples. He took the gift of bread like he would like to take in our lives, the bread and fishes, no matter how small it may be, the talent that we have. He'll take this small gift that we have to offer and use it to feed the multitudes if we allow him to. He fed the multitudes right in front of his disciples, a tremendous miracle, feeding 5,000. And it said he sent his disciples across the lake. And then he went up to pray. In Matthew 14:23, it says, "And when the evening was come, he was there alone." Then the passage goes on to say, the wind came up. And here's Peter and the rest of them in the boat. And the waves began to toss the boat. And all of a sudden they see someone coming and they thought it was a ghost. And they were terrified and someone said, "It's Jesus." And Peter says, "If it's you, Jesus, bid me come." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter stepped out. And he started walking on the water. And then the scripture says he took his eyes off Jesus and he saw the waves, Living New Testament. He took his eyes off Jesus and he saw the waves and he was terrified and he began to sink. And that's what happens to you and it happens to me when we take our eyes off of Jesus. Every little problem becomes a great wave that's ready to sweep us under. You'll have family problems that will be great waves to you. Financial problems that will be great waves to you. Physical problems that will be great waves to you if you get your eyes off Jesus Christ. Peter took his eyes off of Christ and he saw the waves and he was terrified. And he began to sink and he cried out. And Jesus quickly put forth his hand and he caught him. And he said, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You just saw me feed 5,000 people, a miracle of breaking bread and feeding. Why did you doubt?" And friends, we're going to go through the same thing day after day after day of our life. We can see great victories, and the next day, we can be down in the dumps. But let's remember to lift our eyes on Jesus. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And then, in closing, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. This verse was a healing verse to me, really. In the Living New Testament, it says, "Don't worry about anything, but pray about what? Everything. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything." I remember just before I was married, we had a bit of tension naturally living in the same home with this beautiful girl and we weren't allowed to date. I mean, it wasn't in the books at the time and we didn't even know really we were for each other. And I had to sit across the table from her, hold in and hold in and hold in and a lot of other things. And then I was going to school and that was a new experience and trying to have a ministry and I found that I got terribly anxious. And I'm sure I had an ulcer, I don't know, but my stomach just burned and burned and burned. And I used to go by a billboard, and it had the 7 signs of cancer on it. And you know, Reader's Digest states that about 70% of our problems is right here. And I'll be honest with you, I developed every 7 sign. I had headaches. I had sore throat. I had burning in my stomach, and I had aches in my bones, and day after day. And I went to the doctors, and I smelled the ether, and I heard clanging of things. I'd never been in the office before, and I'd already registered at the desk, and I got up and walked out. But I knew that I should see someone, so I called a friend. He said, go and see someone over in University District. So I went over there, and he poured a glass of this white chalk substance down my throat, and I stood in front of the fluoroscope, and he traced it down. He said, you, my good friend, have an ulcer crater. You've got a nervous stomach. And they put me on a diet, and I ate parade spinach and applesauce, and ate with the baby. Google's baby was there, and I got in one day, just a joke, I got in the playpen with a baby. And while the rest of them were having their lunch out in the park eating chicken and stuff, I just got in and sat there like this, and I ate my baby food. Until I took Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall what? Keep your hearts and minds. And friends, I have found God true to that verse ever since. Now, there's healing. There's healing. Mind on Jesus Christ and his promises day by day. Take them with you and go to the promise, the equilibrium, the promise. Day after day, when you're in waters of adversity and depression and everything else, just your eyes on Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our Father, we do thank you tonight for loving us, putting up with us, keeping us, blessing us beyond measure, and even giving us a little opportunity of serving you, co-laborers. We thank you tonight, Father. We don't know why, but our hearts are filled tonight with gratitude for the little insight you've given us in the Word, the understanding to know Jesus Christ. And we just long, Father, to walk faithfully with Thee, to know Your presence and Your power in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.